Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. Our next segment, we're going to talk about, he's out using the facilities, our friend Tony Bright Davis, former Chicago pimp, now an artist with Project Onward. And it's kind of continuing with what we did in the last segment, a little bit about mental health and artwork. I kept Frederick on from the panel before, Frederick Mitch, because you're also an artist.
I am.
So why don't you talk a little bit about your artwork, and then we'll talk about what Project Onward does with Rob Lentz.
Sure, yeah. I'm an abstract artist. I started painting when I was 20. I was a senior in college. I'd never done art before. I was writing my thesis in philosophy. I was going through a breakup, and I was just getting really lost in all of that. And a friend got me a set of paints and just kind of told me to kind of play with the colors and kind of do something else to express myself. And yeah, I've been doing it ever since. And while I was severely ill, while I was severely depressed and going through hospitalizations, really painting was the one thing that kind of, you know, was like a relief for me. In the past 3 years since I've been stable, I've really been getting out there. I've been in a couple of group shows in the city. I had my first solo show this past September. Now I'm doing mixed media work in addition to just abstract acrylics. And I love it.
You say, and this is what Project Onward, painting was a relief for you. Can you elaborate on that? And then Rob, pick up about what you saw at the Project Onward artist when you were there. But
Yeah. I mean, when I was so severely depressed, I mean, my thoughts were so negative and so intrusive. I mean, I really couldn't do anything without suffering in my mind. And making art was really the one thing that was like a mental vacation. It was literally the one thing I could do that would free my mind. And, you know, the change, I suppose, has been that now that I'm doing well, I no longer need to use making artwork as, you know, an escape from my thoughts, but rather I can use it as a means for thought. So I feel like my work has become more complex, and that's been great. Art has really, you know, been a huge part of my recovery and now the maintenance of my mental health.
Wow. So, Rob, talk about what Project Onward does and how you cross paths with our guest, Tony.
Sure. I really appreciate what you were saying about how art kind of helped you with your recovery. And I think there's a kind of an inherent way for art to help you express things that are happening that you might not be able to communicate otherwise. And it could be really hard to talk about issues like that. But art is something, because it's visual, you can get across things that are difficult to talk about. And in my work with Project Onward, which is a studio program for adults with disabilities, and that includes intellectual and developmental disabilities as well as mental illness. So lots of conditions affecting the mind. We used art as an outlet for self-expression, for storytelling, and also, it has sort of inherent therapeutic properties. But I think what was important to talk about with all of this is empathy, and I really appreciated the discussion you guys were having before about empathy.
Empathy, yeah.
Because I think art is a real catalyst for that, both in terms of people being able to connect and tell their stories, but also people like myself, who might not have that experience, but I can understand what someone else is experiencing by experiencing their art with art without having to talk about it or having to go through therapy or whatever.
So we have in the studio and is Deontay Davis, Tony's son.
Yes.
Thanks for bringing Tony down. Tony, you there?
I'm
you okay? Here. You're gonna have to talk close to the mic.
I'm up in here, baby.
Okay. This is, I'm sure WGN hasn't done something like this in a while. I became a fan of Tony's work just by going to Project Onward. Uh-huh. And I bought some of his work, and I wrote a story that came out. I brought you guys some copies for New City. Rob and Tony know I've worked on this since October, November, probably 4,000 words. I was just a champion of Tony's work. I'm a champion of Tony's story. I'm a champion of redemption and looking at things in a different light, as opposed to, you know, what the pimp life you had in the 1960s. Talk about how you guys found each other. Rob, I know the story, but in your own words, Rob, how did you meet Tony and your first impression? Then while Rob's talking about that, Tony, I want you to think about what you thought about with Rob.
Mm-hmm. So I first met Tony through Project Onward. This was probably, I don't even remember, 10 or 12 years ago. It's been a while. And we had a studio at the Cultural Center right downtown. Amazing space. Those were the days, Tony. And the first thing that I saw of Tony's was were some drawings that he had done, and they were brought to us by a friend of mine who had been buying his work on the street. And so the work that I saw were these like 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper that had these amazing like comic book characters on them and dialogue and everything. And but it wasn't. This wasn't Superman. This was like, these were pimps and street hustlers and gangsters and thugs. I'm just amazing characters, really beautifully drawn. And I connected to them instantly because I kind of recognized this sort of Marvel Comics influence. But I was blown away by the material. And also, you will remember this, Tony, the paper was laminated. He had taken packing tape and covered the whole paper with this packing tape. So it looked, it just looked really cool, but it was also smart because he's selling the work out on the street and it's all weather. So you gotta take care of it.
And taught me a very valuable trick, man.
What was that?
As far as when you work out in the weather, you gotta take care of it, you know, and that's me, that's my love, man, that's my heart. So I'm protect that, man. Somebody can get hyped messing with that. So when I put my stuff out, put the plastic on top of it, somebody gave me an idea. Somebody about the wind. Okay, it was the wind, and I said, that's messing my stuff up. You know, I can just cover the whole mother up, and then just, you know, I ain't got to worry about none of that. I think I even waterproofed it with plastic. I had some stuff from the library I found, little leaves. Project Onward helped me out. Anything clear, you know, that I could see. But what'd you say, 8x11s? Yeah,
like letter size paper.
I would have never thought that.
You know, you and I talked a couple times up at the library. I brought the, I don't know if you've seen the story, yeah. But anyway, you and I talked about, and Rob, we can talk about this, and Dante, your choice of colors. A lot of your work, it's street life, but you choose really bright colors. Talk about making some of the characters you knew back in the day superheroes, you know?
Yeah, because the guys remind you of superheroes, man. These guys stepped out the man, when the sun hit them, you'd be like, oh, what the? Mm-hmm. And the girls be like melting and, you know. So I said, man, I got to did that, man. I got to did that. Then my uncles got older and they started doing it. And when they come in the house, man, I'm smelling that cologne, man. Them big rings clacking all over the table, clack, clack. You know, I was drawn in. That was it for me. And then on top of all that, when I got about 10, 11, I started noticing my mom's and my father, my stepfather. Mm-hmm. Same father as me, because that's my little sister's father. But that's what brought me up, and he was a gangster. Jack from the west side over there on Sacramento, right off Lake Street. Man.
Well, you can. We're going to link the story to the podcast, but you got out of the game. You told me 19, 20, 21. You were young when you kind of graduated or something else.
Tell me when I got all that. Man, at a young age, I decided because, see, a person can't look at themselves. They're just a coward. You got to look in there and see. When I look in the mirror, I saw a demon. Mm-hmm. And I knew with them girls around that money, somebody come talking crazy, they going to get it. I ain't one of them pimps that going to pay you. You know, that ain't me, baby. You know, I work for this. You come over here talking, you don't get it. And they didn't like that. They didn't like that about my game.
For everybody here, and you guys know, because we met, and in the world of art, I mean, how do you not judge? I mean, I was very vocal with you guys about I had trouble with this story. People were down on this story without even knowing the story. you know what I mean?
Because the truth hurts.
Yeah. So, I mean, in the world of art, how do you just keep people's minds open?
That's the point.
Yeah, and I think that Tony's work fits into this idea of outsider art. You know, people who operate artistically outside the mainstream and are part of in an interesting way, part of a tradition that is not a tradition. It operates outside of what we're used to seeing as art. And so, because of that, it has this kind of outlaw status, and because of the subject matter, you know, this is way apart from what people are used to seeing in art. And that's what I was immediately attracted to, was that this is somebody who is like knows what he's doing visually. He knows how to bring this thing together artistically, but it's not the kind of content that that anyone is used to seeing who is a appreciator of art. So I think there's a tremendous value in that, but also his experience is part of that that we talk about a lot in outsider art circles, of the biography of the artist versus the art, or how it relates to the art, and how do you separate the two? Do you separate the two? And at a certain point, you know, Tony's work is just so over the top that, yeah, a lot of it is based on some things that he experienced, but he's taking it to this whole other level, and you can take that literally, but you probably shouldn't.
Yeah, because you know you got to be. I just dib and dab in the fantasy and the real. That's what makes
it's like, just like this radio show. But yeah, your work has been, and again, we bring up in the article, your work has been championed in Europe. One of the collectors. This is great. I mean, he says your composition makes it a mix between Snoop Dogg and Rembrandt. Frederick.
Yeah. Well, you know, to the question of like, you know, separating, you know, what you sort of think about the artist and the work, you know, my work started really changing about 2 years ago when someone, an art professor who now asked me if I liked my work, and I was like, yeah, I like it. I think it's pretty. And she was like, I wonder what would happen if you made work that made you uncomfortable. And I started trying to do that. And that's when I started making mixed media pieces that had something to do with my experiences with mental illness. And so, you know, I made a piece at some point that had to do with my experience with body dysmorphia. And when I showed it, it made people extremely uncomfortable. A lot of people didn't like looking at it because it is uncomfortable. But it connected with a few people in particular who'd never had a sort of hetero cis male talk about anorexia before. And so I feel like the more uncomfortable and personal you get, the more you are going to resonate with a more specific audience.
It's a good point. We got to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about this on WGN.
Say the neon lights are bright on Broadway.
On
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. We have our friend Tony Bright Davis. Bright because you use all those bright colors. Mm-hmm. Rob Lentz. What was your title at Project Onward when you were?
I was the program director when Tony showed up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Tony San Diante.
Yes.
Thanks. So what's this journey been like for you? And you've talked a little about having Tony as your dad and stuff. Yeah, talk about what you've learned from him.
It's been a roller coaster, but it's also been like a very teaching experience in it. Although it was a very awkward teaching, but it was a lot richer than many people who had what would be considered a better environment growing up. And I say that through things like his way of looking at life, as I was just speaking with Tom about the pictures. I believe that it was his truth to his environment growing up during Reconstruction in Chicago, which is a very, if you look up the laws and the things that was enacted on someone like him, it created an environment that may alter someone's mental ability, and I believe that's the reason for a lot of his mental disabilities or whatever he may suffer from. And I feel like his art throughout my entire life taught me things subconsciously, you know, whether it was the fancy of a pimp life or even the monsters that he drew, he always gave me stories behind it, and it taught me things like throughout other situations in life.
You know, the story kept, as I was working on it for a long time, it just kept unraveling, as you do with any good story. One door opens, another door opens, another door. So talk about, then your fiance, she's I know she's going out of town, DCFS Family Support Specialist. And she said, and it's in our story here, made my view, just working with Tony and learning about Tony has made my view of how to interact with DCF children and families a lot broader.
Yes.
So her exposure to Tony has enriched her career.
Right. As we met, you know, one of the things she always, and many people said they liked, was I was intelligent. Although I suffered from many mental problems as well due to my environment, I always excelled when it came educationally. And the more she got to know me, the more she got to know my family. And then she, you know, she met people like my father. And by her being a psychology major and being around me where I can explain the reasons and the way we are the way we were, it helped her connect the sense of, usually when a DCFS worker get a child and they take a child from a bad situation, a lot of time hope can be removed because it's like that person's never going to be well. Now she has this story where she know my entire background and how I was taken from a child, but she see how it turned out to where me and my brother, you know, we went off to school and college and we turned out well. And she see how my dad has turned around. He's doing better. And she understand that all many people needed was a chance. And thankfully, art was his chance.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break. I'm going to keep you guys for a little bit. I want to talk about your film too, Rob, because there's some connective threads. I want to talk about that. And I won't keep you up too much longer, but we're going to take a break for David Jennings the News, so don't go away on WGN.
Oh, the streets of Rome are filled with rubble. Ancient footprints are everywhere.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN, and we're in the studio with Chicago artist Tony Bright Davis, Rob Lentz, who kind of discovered Tony back in, how long ago was that?
I don't know. I think it was 10 or 12 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Tony's son.
The same year that the Sox won.
Yeah, right, 2005. Same year. Tony's son, Deontay, and Friedrich Nietzsche artist. Thanks for hanging out for the whole show. I wanted to get in your film, but talk about Tony's work being in Paris.
Oh, yeah, we were just talking about that. So, and I'm going to shamelessly plug into it right now because I'm on the board.
Yeah.
So there's a show, amazing show called Chicago Calling, Art Against the Flow, that originated here in Chicago at Intuit, the Center for Intuitive and Outsider Art, and which focuses on 10 major outsider artists who were based in Chicago. But part of the show is also some contemporary artists, and Tony is one of them. And so that show has traveled to Paris. So if you happen to be in Paris at Al Saint-Pierre, you will see some of Tony's work, which is pretty amazing. It's a long way to come.
On a good night, maybe our signal, you know, comes all the way, goes all the way over there. There's also been talk. I mean, we've talked about this through the process of the story about maybe someday, Tony, I know one of your dreams is to do a graphic novel of some of your work.
Yes, man.
That would
maybe bring it to us here and now, computerize it. Like,
have you got Deontay? Have you guys talked about that?
Yes.
We're
trying to figure it out, but it's it's hard because, you know, art is such a personal thing, so it's hard to, like, put other people's idea and keep what it is that he do, because it's so vital to what it is he do, you know. So, but we working on getting him a little more tech savvy so that we can get his things out, you know.
Right. You were telling me we are going to link the story to the podcast version of this show. You were working on a website for him. I mean, how can people see his art? Can you see it through Project Onward?
You know what? I don't know. I think I have like 3 pages up there the last time I saw Project Onward online, punch my name in there. So, you know what? I'm not sure if them 3 pictures still there, but...
Did you Google yourself?
I will check it out. No, you see what I'm saying? I ain't Google myself.
Yeah. No, but I think Project Onward does have an artist page for Tony, and there's some samples of his artwork there.
And Deontay...
Everybody said they liked it.
Of course.
And are you guys doing something?
Just started as a Facebook page right now, you know, just to share it with older friends, and maybe they can share it out more. Just to get it popularized, because, you know, everything goes off algorithms now. So the more you get it out on the web, then the more, when you do create a website, you can generate more people to see it.
Yep. And I trust them to do that. You know that?
So, Rob, you did a film for Raw Vision. Talk about what Raw Vision is, called Hyperlexia.
Yeah, so...
And Louis DeMarco's been on the show, too.
Yeah, Louis's been on the show. He's an amazing artist, another Project Onward artist. And, you know, I left Project Onward some years ago, but I am really... It's important for me to stay connected to the artists, and Louis is one of them that I've really stayed connected to. And so Raw Vision is a outsider art magazine based in the UK, and they put on a competition, a short film competition, about artists. And so I thought, well, this is a great sort of outlet to talk about my connection to Louis and the things that I wanted to kind of talk about with his artwork and how it relates to autism and his way of sort of seeing the world. And so I put together some of the footage that I've taken over the years. I go and visit him pretty much every week.
He's in Westtown.
Yeah. And just we hang out and talk about music, and he draws, and it's a really he's got a really unique voice. And the thing that I was interested in capturing was this idea that he was 2 years old when he learned to read and write, which was where the title Hyperlexia comes from. And so that is still, I met him when he was 19, and he's now 33 or something like that. And so the work that he's done, which is really popular, a lot of it is text-based. So it's all about the way that he talks and the way that he tells himself things. And so I wanted to capture that, and it goes all the way back to his childhood, from this idea that you know, language and words for a person with autism were actually really important, and developed into this whole body of work that that's now, you know, he has collectors all over the world and in Europe. And so I wanted to get that across.
This is for everybody, and we're going to wrap it up at 1:45 here in a little bit. But this is for everybody, and these are some of the things. I watched the film today. It's on YouTube. Is that the best way to find it?
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Yeah, it's called by Rob Lentz, Lentz.
Yep.
But now listen to this, Tony. I mean, this is a theme for everybody in the room. I mean, these are some of the things that you posted in the film about his muse. Your thoughts are not to be forgotten. What's inside of me? Nothing is blank at all. You can't make everybody understand everything, and never doubt the music inside you. I mean, those are universal lessons.
Words to live by.
Yeah, yeah. Can you talk about how you see that maybe in your art?
Oh, yeah, man.
You know Louis. Tony, you know Louis.
Louis, man. You know, I really take my hat off to that guy. He's bad, man.
Well, of all my dad's kids, I probably was the least artistic. But one lesson he taught me, drawing I spoke of, is I used to wonder how he could not be paying attention and make a bad mark in a picture. And then he'll fix it and turn it to something, and it'd be like, how did you do that? And, you know, he always explained, like, it's your world. You can create it as you want. There's no real mistakes. And it pretty much showed me how, like, when you create something, when you doing something you love, like, there's no real mistakes. As long as you put everything you got into it, there's no mistakes. It's your world. You're pretty much God in that sense.
And actually, that comes from the God in us that can make us capable of doing that.
Well, keep it up. I really enjoy your stuff.
And can I say, a lot of people won't know who this is, maybe by the voice, but Papoose on the west side.
Ooh, that's good. That's good Nocturnal Journal stuff there. All righty. Well, thanks, you guys. I feel like we should go into a song there. Thanks, Tony, for coming down. Thanks, Rob Lentz.
You know, they know me by a bunch of labels.
I'm sure they do.
And thanks, Dante, for bringing your dad down.
No problem.
We're going to talk a little bit more on art after we take a break here. So don't go away on WGN. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN, and on the phone is Todd Alcott from Los Angeles. Thanks for hanging in there, Todd.
Yes, of course.
Sorry, we're running a little late. We've been talking about art and stuff almost the whole show tonight, so I don't know how I found your stuff. Describe what it is. It's like rock and roll lyrics and songs. That's why we played Watching the Detectives, set in a pulp paperback setting. So talk about
what
you do.
Well, I've been listening to rock music for my whole life, starting with the Beatles, and I've also been obsessed with design. While I've had a career as a screenwriter for like 25 years now, recently I started trying to think of ways to smash those two things together. Since I spend all day long listening to this music. And it kind of reawakened my love for design to start making these little imitation book covers and things where I would take an existing piece of design and adapt it to be about this song that I loved and put the two things together and it becomes something new.
So you actually go around LA and find, like, I was reading some background, you find beat up paper. I mean, they have to be like folded edges and stuff, pulp paperbacks, and go from there.
I do some of that. I find a lot of stuff online, but also what I try to do more and more of is to actually build the images up from nothing. And the ones that I'm proudest of are the ones where I've created the whole image myself, and I've made it look like a beat up paperback or something. That's one of my favorite things to do is to take a really nice, clean looking piece of art and make it look like it's been in the back of someone's closet for 50 years.
I've bought a couple pieces of yours. Talk about how people find you. It's Etsy. I mean, how can people see the work?
I am at Etsy.com. My store is called Todd Alcott Graphics. Lately, my goodness, the store has just been going crazy. A fellow Chicagoan, Anne Holliday, wrote a piece about me in this website that she works for, Open Culture. And it got a whole bunch of people's attention, and my orders have been going through the roof, and it's been fantastic. It's gone from being something that I did to amuse myself while waiting for inspiration to strike in my screenplay work to being a whole different side career. It's been really fun.
Some of the themes that I want to ask you about are themes we've talked about all night on the show, and I kind of want to zero in on your work with David Bowie about the connections of some of your David Bowie work. And you were talking about when you were listening to Bowie and coming of age with Bowie, you were kind of isolated, and listening to him and his stuff made you feel less alone. So talk about how music can change you that way.
Well, sure, absolutely. Brian Eno has a terrific quote about music being a friend in times of isolation and sadness. My adolescence growing up in the suburbs of Chicago there in Crystal Lake had its fair share of tumult and grief and everything. And, the thing that David Bowie did in the 70s was to, he presented himself as a multisexual space alien. It's like compared to that, the weird kid in high school, you know, felt completely normal. So if you had a guy like David Bowie out there saying, "You belong, you count, I'm one of you," it touches you in a way that another act of the time, like, you know, Aerosmith or somebody, doesn't. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Bowie prints have gotten their own kind of following lately, because people do feel that connection. It's funny, a friend of mine said, "Oh, so what you got to do now, you got to get a list of the top 40 played rock songs and make a print for each one of those." And I was like, "No, that's not how it works. It works because it's like people feel like they're part of a private conversation. Like, I get it and you get it, and we're talking to each other." And that's the thing to me that I feel like this work does, is it continues this conversation where, you know, 40 years ago David Bowie spoke to me, and now I'm connecting that to, you know, a piece of 1970s science fiction art that creates some new idea, and then I'm putting that back out there, and people are going, "Oh my God, I've felt that way too. What a fantastic connection to make." And it becomes all part of this continuum. It's, you know, and one of the things that I love is when I'll post something on Instagram. Last week I posted a print for a Garbage song, "Only Happy When It Rains," where I did it to make it look like a Morton salt container, they reposted it on their Instagram account, I love it when, first of all, I love it when artists don't sue me for using their work.
Yeah.
But second, I love it when an artist that I've always looked up to goes, "Oh, I understand what you're doing. You're doing this," and it's all part of this continuum. And that's what to me art has, the whole point of art has been about, is that you can, you know, reach across time and space and connect with people that you never even met.
You know, again, you probably weren't listening when we had the guest before you, but we were. One theme about tonight is honesty, whether we were talking about Chicago Police or Tony,
sure,
whose art comes from the streets of Chicago, and honest, and Frederick, the stuff Frederick does, and honesty and transparency is just, it makes art live, you know? And I was, I'm going to reference here the article I found that you did for the Cultural Weekly after Anthony Bourdain passed away. And
yeah,
you talk
sure,
about, you talk, and we were talking about this before, you talk very frankly about your depression. You go, "I've lived with it all my life from my earliest memories." It's interesting. You said, "The comic strip
sure.
Peanuts went off in my head like a bomb for reasons I couldn't express. Charlie Brown was my hero. It was only when Charles Schulz was near death and he gave an interview where he characterized his creation as a comic strip about depression." So talk about how, again, for everybody in the room, how art can work with that.
I mean, it's funny because I was thinking about this just today because I knew I was going to be talking to a gigantic radio audience tonight.
Oh, you're so kind.
I was trying to think, like, what should I, how deep should I go with this? You know, I have this play about Cinderella where I realized that I was Cinderella, and that's one of the reasons why I so connected with the character of Cinderella from the very first time I ever heard the story, is because Cinderella can't connect to society without a device, right? She needs a dress before anyone will like her.
Mm.
And I realized reading Cinderella as a 35-year-old, this is going back a while now, but I realized reading it that, oh my God, this is the reason why I connected with it so strongly. It's because I feel like I can't connect to society unless it's through art. That I need this, and, you know, art is it's literally short for artificial, it's short for artifice, that I need to create a piece of art that goes out into society, and then people see that, and they go, "Oh, I get it, I like this guy," and then I can talk to people, right? And the origin of this whole Photoshop project that I've been doing is that I would be on Facebook, and there would be, like, people that I liked on Facebook, And I would say, oh, I like this person. I want to get to know them better. And so I would make like a little birthday card that is like, it says happy birthday, but I've taken a picture of them and I've turned it into like a Blue Note album cover or something, uh-huh. something witty that responds to them and their personality and so forth. And that's how I was able to get to know people on the internet. Just by putting a thing out there that will start a conversation. And I've gotten a whole lot of friends that way. But lest you think that I'm, you know, some creepy guy hiding in a dark room. I guess I am. I don't know.
But yeah, but a little bit of time we have left, Rob and Frederick, talk about that. I mean, art as a connective thread.
Absolutely.
Frederick.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'll just say, I just want to say, you know, first of all, I really appreciated your article with the Peanuts references. Very vulnerable and honest.
Sure.
I appreciate it. But I love your art. I mean, I've only actually seen one example of it, but I've been hearing you describe it. I think with the truth in art and the way you connect to people, you know, I do comedy, like I do improv comedy, and that's a great way to see people's honesty in their core self, and I love
sure.
it. But like, I don't know, like what you're doing, you're playing with pop culture, you're playing with history, you're playing with art history references, and like, you know, there are people who will get your references, like get the garbage reference, get the Morton Salt reference, and like
sure.
there are people who are in on the joke with you, and I feel like that's such a fun and awesome way for you to connect with people, and I just think it's
right.
fantastic. Yeah,
well, thank
I
you.
Think it's great.
It's funny that you mentioned that. I had this piece a few months ago where I was thinking about the Rolling Stones song Midnight Rambler, and one of the big books of my teenage years was the Charles Manson book Helter Skelter.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll do a Midnight Rambler piece in the style of the cover of Helter Skelter, this book that had such an impact on me. And I thought, and everyone will understand it. Everyone will understand the connection between those things. And I thought, this is going to be a huge hit on Instagram, and it's going to go through the roof, and it didn't. Nobody else got it. But then, with a piece like that, or one of my more esoteric pieces, I'll make that one connection, and the one person who buys the print is like, oh my God, this is the most amazing
right.
thing I've ever seen.
Right.
But it's funny, it was actually on a trip to Chicago. I went to school in Carbondale, down in southern Illinois, but I was on a trip to Chicago, and I walked into the Art Institute, and I turned a corner, and hanging on the wall there at the Art Institute was Van Gogh's The Drinkers. And that painting just smacked me in the face like a 2x4, and I realized, oh my God, there was a guy in France who was going crazy and painting like a madman, and he put all of those feelings into this canvas, and here it is 100 years later, and it's hanging in this museum on the other side of the world, and I just walked around the corner and got the full impact of it.
We got a break for the news, but I want to bring you back, Todd. Will you come back in a few weeks?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, because I want to talk about your roots here in Chicago. So thank you for joining us. How can you find your work? Etsy?
At Etsy, Todd Alcott Graphics.
Great, very good. Thank you guys
Sounds
so
great.
Much. Thanks for joining
Thank
us,
you.
Todd.